WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's Place to Talk.
Hip hip hooray, let's give a cheer. It's 9 a.m., the signal's clear. Our favorite host is in the chair. The Truman Show is on the air.
It's the Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
The Truman Show is on the air. The Truman Show is on the air.
Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. I have one of my best friends in the whole wide world for many, many years. I mean, we go all the way back to when we can remember what the outside looked like. And I got Mr. Bud Mitchell on today. And, Bud, you know, it's kind of funny. I know you used to go to the Princess Theater like I did. And one of the big shows that we had back then was Godzilla. Yeah. And King Kong, of course. And I know over here at Premier Six, which is, I consider that our Princess Theater now, I see that Godzilla is going to be coming this week. Are you going?
Well, if they got Roy Rogers or Gene Autry or Tom Mix or something like that, I might go. I always liked the Westerns, you know. I was a Western person.
Well, you know, they had a cowboy show with a little King Kong back when he came. Do you remember that? He came back and that was a great movie.
No, I didn't remember that.
Well, anyway, this what's showing starting today, Godzilla rated PG-13. I'm going to go see it probably today. Million Dollar Arm PG, and that's about baseball. Should be a great movie. Neighbors rated R, a little bit too racy for me. Bears rated G, great movie. Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return, PG. It's an animated show. I've seen it. Pretty good movie. The Amazing Spider-Man 2, of course, great action, PG-13. The Other Woman, PG-13, is a hilarious movie. Heaven is for Real, PG. It's one of those heartwarming movies you'll absolutely love. Grand Budapest Hotel, rated R. It's a tongue-in-cheek movie. Rio 2, rated G. Going to be a great movie. I've seen them all except for the very first two that I mentioned, and I'll probably see those in the next 2 days. Check GoSeeAMovie.com or call 896-4100 for their movie hotline for times and ticket prices. That's GoSeeAMovie.com or call 896-4100. And don't forget, Monday through Wednesday, get popcorn for only $1.75, pop fresh daily. Well, you know, Bud, I know we had it on the show and we talked about campus school. And, of course, it was training school when you went there. And you got to go over and visit at that 4 to 6 where all the people got together. Did you see many of your friends over there?
You know, I saw some people. A lot of times you know people when you see them, but mm-hmm. you don't know their names. But I saw Helen Jones Brown, and I saw Jimmy Freeman.
The two from MTSU.
Yeah, the two that I knew personally. But I was expecting to see more people there, and there may have been more people there because I was running late. I was right at the end of it, thing, but that's the first time I'd been in there in about 55 years. And it brought back a lot of memories, and I guess the wall kind of shook when I came in.
But it wasn't used to you staying that long.
I guess so, but, by me going to the training school, I met a lot of friends, met people that I wouldn't have if I'd have gone to Kittrell. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity because mm-hmm. I met all of them at Kittrell because Mama taught there, and they all lived out around me anyway. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I just met so many people that I knew, and I got to talk to one of them yesterday. And you'll have to give me her last name, Meredith Martin.
Yes, and she's a McFarland now.
McFarland. Uh-huh. I saw her and talked to her, and she came out and had a flat tire, and I fixed it. But she
was it a flat tire on her car or on her bike?
No,
because she rides that bike everywhere.
You know, that's one thing I asked her. I said, "Mary Edith, are you still riding?" She said, "I am." You know, but she had two nails in a tire, and one of them hadn't punctured it, but she had two nails in a tire. But I got to talk to her about that, and I just thought, Mary Edith, you remember the ones that are so nice. Yes. And Mary Edith was one of the nicest people I ever went to school with. Her, Tommy Martin, was her dad.
Mr. Murphy's girl.
Yeah, and he was so nice, and Mary Edith carries the same qualities.
Yeah.
And you remember certain people like that, and I'd say Mary Edith might have been maybe in the elite, you know, far as what I considered the elite. Mm-hmm. But her and Bob Mifflin, I don't remember where you remember Bob.
Oh, I've been a friend for many, many years.
Well, Bob was one of those people that I can really say was one of the nicest people, and still is. And it's kind of funny how we change, because sometimes you get the wrong impression of people. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like when you meet someone and smile. Mm-hmm. You know, when you meet them and smile, that opens up doors. And if you don't speak to them, you know, that person's conceited, aren't they? And I guess probably my views might have been a lot like that, you know, when I was in school. But I went to school with some of the finest people that ever lived. And one good thing, too, was a training school as well as Central. Now, at Central, I met more people all over the county than I did at training school, which I did.
Well, you were in a kind of an elite group over, because training school would probably be more akin to what we call the Central Magnet School right now.
Well, I was with them. They had real smart people there except for me. I was about the only one that they had to really work with, and I was. We had special classes, and
they set the bar high for people like you and me.
I guess they did. We couldn't reach that bar, but I was thinking about when I was in the. I don't know. I must have been about the seventh grade. Mm-hmm. Ms. Mary Hall came from over at the university, mm-hmm. and she taught a class, and I can't remember where it was, spelling or English, because see, my mama was an English teacher. And you would have thought at least I could have caught on.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was in that special class with Ms. Mary Hall. And I also went to church with Ms. Mary
Science
Hall.
Science Hill.
Yeah, she was at Science Hill, but as long as she lived, except her latter part, mm-hmm. she got moved to town. And I think she went to the Boulevard, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, I've known Ms. Mary all my life. And she was a very fine lady, but she found out she couldn't teach me a whole lot anyway.
she was one of those that believed in brevity, and even when the preacher was up there preaching, because there would be times that the preacher would have to look over at her and see what she was doing, and a lot of times she would be pointing toward her watch.
Yeah, it was time,
time to end.
Time to sit down, wasn't it? But anyway, Miss Mary was an awful fine person. She was what we call an old maid. She mm-hmm. was an old maid, you know.
Yes.
But she was a very fine person.
But it's not that she done, she almost got married one time.
Oh, did she?
Yes, she did. And that's a story within itself. But I think a lot of times her dad controlled what direction she went to in her future, because Miss Mary Hall, and we've discussed this before, her dad did not want her to be a doctor and told her so.
Yeah.
So that's how she ended up, because the medical practice was her first love, because she rode everywhere with him in his buggy when they traveled around the community and when he would visit homes at that
time. I guess you'd call her his nurse.
Yeah, yeah.
And a nurse practitioner even, because I'd mm-hmm. say that she saw enough in everything that she probably mm-hmm. Even done procedures. Just knowing her and knowing how she would take hold. But anyway, there's a lot of stories about Miss Mary, but she was a very fine lady. But I was trying to think of one. We were had the parking lot done years and years ago up at Science Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Laws had this fella come in that...
And everybody knows that Jim Laws was living in a very famous house over there.
Uncle Dave Macon's house
right down from the church.
Well, anyway, he was marking off spots, you know, the lines for cars. And mm-hmm. and Jim told this man, said, you leave a wide space for this particular one, because there's an old maid that goes to church here and she parks there. Well,
ooh,
he left,
ooh.
You know, and she came down the road and she saw the man doing the spaces, and she said, this one here, why did you leave it so wide? He said, well, Jim Lawson is an old maid. There's an old maid that's going to park right here, and you know, that kind of brought the fire on right there. It was a funny story, even though it wasn't, you know.
That was like bombing Pearl Harbor.
We've
been so fortunate to live in such a great area over there, and we've mentioned it many, many times, but the Jakestown, I guess that encompassed everything from around Double Springs and Jakes Avenue and all those things. It was such a great place, and you know, the people there were just the greatest role models in the world. I mean, we had a few that maybe might drink a little bit too much or whatever, but I never saw anything completely out of the way that the community would actually, it would leave a bad taste in your mouth. I mean, I can remember your dad and your mama, they were kind of like the pillars of the community, and everybody would go there to your store. And it seems like it was just the meeting place to go, not only to see what's going on in the neighborhood, but you got your groceries there, and you had fun there. And it just went from, the roots were pretty deep there, because everybody knew everybody's mom and dad, and they knew who to watch out for and who not to watch out for. And I can still remember Roscoe Brown taking us to the lake, and a lot of times it would be Rock Island, and we would go over there, and every kid in the neighborhood would be invited. And can you imagine anybody growing up in a better place than that?
No, that's true, and that's kind of like going back to the training school and seeing the different teachers and the different people that we had. I was mm-hmm. thinking about Marietta Jackson.
Yeah.
And she's a bishop now.
Yes. Well,
Marietta came out to the tire store one day several years ago and said, you know, they made me and you Indians, and they made the others pilgrims. And, you know, I think because I could never figure that out, but I'd figured out why I was an Indian, but not her. And that's one of the things that I thought about. It just tickles me to death when I think about when she done that. But anyway, she told the truth, you know, And Ms. Carl Black, I don't know where y'all remember.
Oh, I remember her well.
She taught. I had her in English in, I believe, I don't know, 2 years at Central. Mm-hmm. But one of the nicest ladies I believe I've ever run into.
And she's still with us.
Yeah. And several years ago, her husband passed. And mm-hmm. I hadn't seen her in years. And I went into a wood fence and I went up to the casket. And I said, Ms. Black, do you remember me? She said, you're the bumblebee. And I don't know where, it's the second or third grade, we were bumblebees. Yeah. We had wings and stuff. And, you know, she knew all those years, she still knew. She called me the bumblebee, but she knew who I was. And she was one of the nicest ladies. And she put up with more and handled it better than any teacher that I'd ever seen in my life.
Well, she was such a good lady. You know, it's kind of a political family that she grew up in.
The Braggs.
She was a Bragg.
Right.
Yeah.
But she could have run for president, as far as I was concerned, because she was tops in my sight. And I just really appreciate people like her. And I guess, you know, a lot of times we make mistakes, but you think back and think who helped you through those mistakes. And, you know, your parents did too. But teachers like her was really what made it worth it, you know.
Well, you guys were kind of an artsy group. You and Charles Brandon and all of that bunch. Bob Mifflin went there. And when we were playing Mumbly Peg over at Kittrell, you were out dressing up as bumblebees and stuff like that. I mean, how lucky could you be to go through a school like that?
I think we paid, probably we paid for that. But, you know, I was very fortunate. What happened? My mother went to school there. Mm-hmm. She went to the training school.
I didn't know she went there.
Yeah. I think the training school opened in 1921 or something mm-hmm. like that, somewhere in there. And she was able to go through there, and she got Judy and I in there too. And it was really good that she did. I don't know if it helped me. It did help her. But anyway.
Did you pretty much have the same kids all the way through the grammar school era? Because yours was probably one of those that you had the same students in each class from time to time.
We did. We pretty well held on the ones we had. And I was the first three grades, we kept the same teacher. Ms. Harrison. Now, there's a Ms. Manley that taught, and there mm-hmm. was another one, and I done forgot her name. But I remember Judy had Ms. Manley, and she was one of the nicest people. Ms. Harrison, too. Ms. Harrison was more strict, But anyway, she had to be strict, I guess, around us. But anyway, we had a good teacher.
Now, did you, every year, did you have students from MTSU that could come over and work with you during that time? Because I know that was part of the curriculum for campus. Oh, well, it's training school. Let's keep it at what it was at that time. Because I know that that's why they had the original agreement between the county and MTSU. That would be part of the curriculum that the teachers-to-be would come over there.
They would be student teachers, like being in Army. You know, I was JT and on the job training. and really, I think you probably learned more that way. I guess the teachers did, too, the student teachers. But in Army, I remember on the job training, I taught you a lot more than just opening a book and doing. So the teachers were like that. They had hands-on, and we had a lot of good ones, you know.
You've been in OJT where you are right now for, let's see, about 72 years, haven't you?
Pretty well. Pretty well.
Did you think you got it right yet?
I doubt that.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. You know, I've often thought that one of some of the luckiest people in the world are the ones that stay where they grew up and they had the business and you had a friendship and a contact, and it wasn't just business with the Mitchell family. It was all out of love and caring for the community, and that's one of the things I thought, man, Bud Mitchell is one of the luckiest people in the world to be able to continue to do that.
You know, you think about people going to Florida and moving south, and sometimes it's winter. I thought, man, I would like to move south, but
it was so cold,
you know. It was really a bad winter, but so cold, what I thought about, it's like, I like Chattanooga. I could move to Chattanooga. Well, can I leave my friends?
Why?
Yeah, I know it. I said it was what I say. I couldn't leave my friends because, you know, someone you all can help. They can help you. You just lose a lot, I think, when you would go to another community. And I guess you would adapt in. And at our age, I doubt we could adapt in. We don't have enough time to adapt into a lot. But we know to help. We know to get help. We know so many people that you love and you trust, and it would be bad to me to have to move, you know. A lot of people want to, but I don't really have that desire, you know. It's hard to move off the Woodbury Road now. I've always talked to Kay about moving, but we've been in the same place, and I tell you, it would take an act of Congress to move our attic even, much less everything else, you know, if we decide to move. They just have to come and shoot me, I guess, you know, to leave.
There's something special about stability.
Yeah.
I mean, you just get comfortable that way, don't you?
I guess.
And you mentioned about our age. I hate getting out of our comfort zone. I really do.
Yeah, I do too. I really do.
And you've been at Science Hill Church for... Gosh, when did you first start going? I know I started going when we were about,
you know,
I guess 3 and 4 years old, maybe
in,
a little
in
bit
1946,
later.
We went to the old Science Hill up at
the old wood
up
church.
There, we went up there, and then
it was small.
We went some, but we wound up going to East Main, and I was baptized at East Main. But I went back after I got married. I went up there a little, and then I went to Bellwood because Daddy helped organize Bellwood. And in 72, I've been going up there solid since.
You remember the preacher that baptized you?
Yes, George Jehoff.
And I had Joe Netherland.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was, I'm not too sure that he ever drew a salary at all at Science Hill.
Yeah.
From what I have been told, of course, I don't know, that he would actually give his money back as kind of like a tithe.
I guess that's what you call preaching for love, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'd heard that before, too. But when I started going, James Hale, which was assistant principal at middle school at that time, he started preaching, and he was one of the nicest men that and a good Christian man that I'd ever run into, and he helped my life a lot. I was able to see that you could live like what you should and be who you need to be, really living that way, and he really helped me. So I'm so thankful to have known him, you know, and his family.
You and I have been blessed over the years to have so many good people come into our lives and been positive influences. And I know that you have been that for a lot of people And it's pretty tough, you know, when you combine business with friendships and things like that. But the Mitchell family, and there was one other family I can still remember was a lot like that, and that was the Browns that had the store over at Las Casas and Ben Brown. And, you know, money doesn't seem to be the object of running a business like that. It's a whole lot more. It's the joining of the community, bringing them together, and enjoying the things that people take for granted anymore. They don't seem to have that ability to everybody get together and enjoy the friendships that are there right in front of you.
Well, I think that if you're in business just to make money, you're losing the battle. If you do your job and do the right thing, the money will be there. Now, you know, sometimes I guess you can make more. And I thought back in life, I could have taken a lot of chances. I was raised, my father came through the Depression. He saw mm-hmm. his daddy lose his farm. He saw how he had to really scrape. And I was brought up that way. And I'm so thankful for that because Daddy told me that I could buy anything I wanted as long as I had the money. And so, you know, learning these things has been important. And I think that's one of the things we've lost today. As long as we got a credit card that's not maxed out, we're going to get what we want. Mm-hmm. But, a credit card is okay. And a certain amount you got to have one. If I buy some out of state or something, I have to call and use a card. Very, very seldom I do, but to keep up with what you're doing and everything. And Daddy taught me that. He kept it so simple that you know, as he went along, he done everything that day to where it be pay his bills or get paid or whatever. You know, he kept that so simple, and it's helped me in life because I guess he knew I was a simple person.
Well, you know, you and I saw David Clancy, I think you saw him, what was it, week before last when they had the Kittrell Ham Breakfast? I can't remember what the date was. Yeah. It may be back before that. And I liked to not have recognized him because David Clancy, we called him Mr. Peepers.
Mr. Peepers.
Mr. Peepers, yeah. When we were all growing up together. And the reason is he had those glasses that looked like Coca-Cola, the bottom of the bottle.
They're so thick.
Yeah, and his eyes were three times bigger than well, they appeared to be three times bigger.
Yeah.
And I saw him the other day, and thanks to all the wonders that are going on in eye surgery and everything right now, he doesn't wear glasses anymore. And I almost didn't know who he was.
I know it. Some people, and that's one thing that we change, you know. I don't change. Everybody else does, you know.
Yeah, you actually don't.
You pick up their voice, their tone, mm-hmm. their voice to tell who they are. I've done this. People talking to me, they'll come in and they'll have to say something before I really recognize who they are, and it's mm-hmm. through their voice, not their looks, you know, that I'm going by. And, you know, that's something, though, when people change, what we say change so much, mm-hmm. you know, they said, well, everybody else has changed, but not me, you know.
I'm not too sure of Charles Pinkerton. And, you know, we may be the only group that eats out on the same day of every week, and we fight over the bill. Now, most people fight over somebody else paying for it. We get mad when the waitress will come by, and one of us will bushwhack the other and pay for it before the other. And then we almost have a Donnybrook there every time we get together.
We got three of us, and two of you do that, and then I'm the only one that tries to get out, you know, not pay.
Oh, no, you don't. In fact, you bushwhacked me last time. We want to let you know that part of Bud Mitchell's show is brought to you by Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat. And are you hearing everything around you clearly? I hope you are. Bud and I aren't. Did you know that 7 out of 10 Americans suffer a hearing loss after the age of 50? Now, there is a way to restore your hearing, and you need to give Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat a call today. Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat has been Rutherford County's trusted provider of taking care of all the coughing, sneezing, stuffed-up feelings for almost two decades. Their team of caring physicians, audiologists, nurses, and administrators are standing ready for you and your family so you can improve your style of healthy living. They also have a mobile hearing unit that will actually come to your home diagnose and fit you with a hearing device right in the comfort of your living room. Call Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat today at 848-9265. That's 848-9265.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at theoutpostarmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at Exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
Get well, live well at Northside Healthcare.
I love just listening to them talk.
They listen to you all the time.
Sometimes that's all they want is somebody to listen to them. And they've got some very interesting stories to tell if you take the time to sit down and listen.
You got good people to take care of you.
We just have a good time. Enjoy it.
I love listening to stories, and I know our staff does as well.
Everybody's just nice. Couldn't ask anybody to treat me any better.
Northside Healthcare on East MTCS Drive beside Middle Tennessee Christian School.
Slick Pig Barbecue. Down on East Main, there's pork, beef, chicken, and wings. Sauce too good to be true.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the catfish special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock. $9.99 plus tax for all you can eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw.
Slick Pig Barbecue, 1920 East Main.
Thursday night, the City Council met. I'm Ron Jordan with local news from WGNS. Terry Womack of the Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department recognized for her years of outstanding work at the May 15th meeting of the City Council. Womack will be retiring this July, and among her many accomplishments during her 28 years with the department was establishing the Sunshine Players Children's Theater Group as part of the Cultural Arts Division, a program which she hopes will continue to thrive and inspire when she's gone. Also at the City Council meeting, a motion changing the state of city elections to coincide with the date of the August general elections beginning in August 2016 was passed, and several public hearings were scheduled for June 19th and 26th to discuss rezoning and land amendments, details of which can be found at the city's website, murfreesborotn.gov. Riverdale got great starting pitching and used the long ball to down Tullahoma for the third straight year in the region championship game 9-2. Brady Puckett hit homers in the first and second innings off two different Wildcat pitchers.
Here's the pitch. Swung on, lined into left field and deep. Going back his heel. He's not going to get it. It's out of here. A three-run shot for Brady Puckett. Line in the pitch. Swung on. He may do it again. Deep left field. The ballpark will never hold it. It's out of here. Solo shot for Brady Puckett. Back-to-back for Brady Puckett.
It's John Dinkins of WGNS Sports with the call Thursday night. It's the third year in a row Riverdale has won the regional championship. More news available at WGNSradio.com. I'm Ron Jordan. You're up to date, and this is WGNS News.
Brought to you by Kester Chiropractic and Acupuncture Center on Broad across from Chevrolet of Murfreesboro.
You don't have to live in pain from carpal tunnel, sinus problems, migraines, or pinched nerves. Give me a call at 895-1253 to schedule a free consultation.
Get out of the house. Turn off the computers, the cell phones, and video games. It's time to create some family memories with your mom, dad, your children, or your spouse. Or maybe just spend some quality time with your friends. I'm Randy Boland from Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street between Highway 840 and Thompson Lane. Me and my staff treat people the way we would like to be treated when shopping for fishing, hunting, or shooting supplies. Murfreesboro Outdoors, open Monday through Saturday from 9 to 6 on Northwest Broad Street. I'm Randy Boland. Now, turn off the computers and go hunting or fishing.
Weather Eye.
We'll see a few spotty showers early this afternoon. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, a high in the mid-60s. Northwest winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour and gusting as high as 25. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Vucic-Ski. Right now, 54.
That update brought to you by Valvoline. Valvoline introduced motor oil back in 1866, and they've been reinventing it ever since. Valvoline, 140 years under the hood. For more information on how to get your own free American flag, go to ValvolineUSA.com.
The Truman Show on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
And welcome back with my buddy Bud Mitchell. And we want to let you know this part of his show is brought to you by Metal Max Roofing and Siding. And it's located at 900 Captain Joe Fulgham Drive. We remember Joe Fulgham very well,
sure,
don't we?
Yeah.
What a great guy. And, of course, we lost him in Vietnam, but he's one of our local heroes. And that's off Middle Tennessee Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro. Steel is a unique material that can be recycled, conserving energy and natural resources. Steel is also an excellent cost-effective alternative to asphalt shingle roofs. Metal roofs are beautiful, resistant to wind damage, roof rust, and some are less expensive than asphalt shingles. They offer factory direct pricing so you can buy your roofing and siding material straight from the manufacturer without the middleman. Go by and see their friendly staff today and let them show you over 20 different colors of Metal Max roofing and siding. Give them a call today at 494-1693, 494-1693. Pull them up on the website, www.metalmaxllc.com. You know, one thing I can remember in school, of course, I remember a lot. I remember all the teachers and most of the students that I had friendships with all the way through the schools. But I still remember that very first day, and I think it was probably the scariest I've ever been in school, when we went to Central, because it was the first time that everybody merged from all points in the county and were together. You didn't know probably over 6 or 7% of the kids that were going in there. You didn't know where your classrooms were. And you, first time we had to go from one different classroom to another. And of course it was two stories. So, and you had just a short time to get, once the bell went off, and went from one to another. And I don't know about you, but I was almost panic stricken when I went over there. It was tough to, for me to find my way around there. And I don't know why. I think it just the largest of it and all the different people I didn't know, it just consumed me. Did you have a hard time with it?
Well, I
don't. Or were you just trying to still run away from school?
What I liked was going up and down the halls. Yeah, you're going swapping rooms, you know. We'd be used to staying in one room pretty well.
Had our own lockers, first time we had lockers.
Yeah. But I guess I liked it. I never did really care for school in a sense. I like working. Mm-hmm. I got working with my daddy, and that's what I love working. And
yeah, you've been kind of crazy like that, because I know you were the first one to get a scooter at the time where we all live.
Yeah.
And anybody that gets a brand new scooter and then tears it down and puts it back together, I always thought, you know, there's something wrong with this kid.
Hey, I was pretty good at tearing them down. At the time that we were coming up, there were a lot of these Maytag washers that had gasoline motors because people didn't have electricity. Mm-hmm. Well, when electricity started going out to the county, they would take these gasoline engines off and put a little electric motor on, and they would work off that washer, mm-hmm. would work off of electric motor. So I ran into several of those little gasoline engines that were on those things, and I was always good at tearing them down, but getting them back together was something else, you know. It's kind of funny how I could really tear them up, but I couldn't put them back together. But you know, it's really, things have changed a lot with us. And I think, you know, I can remember when my mama and my grandmama, they would take all day to wash. They washed, they wrung it out, they rinsed it, mm-hmm. they hung it out, they got it up. And now, even I do the washing.
I'm having a hard time believing that.
Yeah, I can drop it in, put the soap in there, and close that lid, and then it'll buzz at me when it's through, and then I throw it in the dryer. But I was thinking how much nicer it is than when they had to do this. You know, it's kind of like even cooking, you know. My grandmother had a stove where they burnt wood in, you know. And
is that the grandmama that lived with y'all?
Yes, yes. And right, the other one had one, too, out on the Franklin Road. Wilson, they had one, too. But how much time it took them to prepare meals, and, you know, like microwaves and stuff now have just made it so nice and quick, you know, and they were all day preparing a meal. They started breakfast and then start for dinner. After breakfast, they started preparing for dinner, you know, and then we always, they call it a covered meal. You'd eat what you had left over from dinner at supper, you know, if that's what, when you eat. But
women never slowed down back then.
No, they had full-time job at home. And maybe part of what we have wrong now is the children's not seeing or around their mothers enough.
Yeah.
You know, Allison's got little Lincoln, and we're taking him at the shop, and Allison is working as a paramedic.
Mm-hmm.
And
at the store.
At the store.
And a mama.
Yeah, and a mama.
Yeah.
And we're trying to help her with him.
Uh-huh.
I just didn't want to go to daycare and get all tied up there.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, I'm going.
I don't know what that sound was, but the thing about Bud's family, they seem like they've stayed together and they've been together and it's been connected the whole time. And we're talking about Allison, Bud's daughter, has Lincoln, who is getting close to a year old now.
Yeah, he's 11 months now.
Yeah, and he is the cutest thing. And if anything ever just captured Bud Mitchell, it's been Lincoln, his grandson, because I've never seen a guy, I'm going to say it, so be so foolish over a grandkid.
Well, you know,
I have never seen anything like that.
You know, one of the things that he's just getting where he can say a word now, and usually it's mama or daddy, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And his first word for tractor.
Tractor. Probably a John Deere.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I've got two Kubotas. And I have to go out there and put him on that Kubota to satisfy him, you know, and sometimes I'll ride him from the front to the back. But I've got two golf carts, and he likes to go in the field. I got about 17 acres behind the house there, and I'll take that golf cart and go around the edge, and he just looks at everything, and he'll get a singing. He's not really singing a tune, but he's singing his own tune, I reckon, but he really enjoys that. But, you know, it's really good to see children when you can help with their raising and help who they are, because mm-hmm. they're forming who they are.
Right.
You know, Kay started teaching when Andy was like 6 months old. Well, when Allison got to be 6 months old, she had him in a Bible class, and she would pat the Bible. She'd take that Bible and pat it, and at 6 months, Allison could do that, and the other kids too. So we don't realize how much we're teaching them by getting them, starting them out so young. And I think this is part of what we see, these younger kids not being taught the things that they need to be, and they don't know them. They don't know the love and all that's
out there for them. You taught Allison really, really well, because I think she is just exactly like you.
That's terrible.
And one of the things that you taught her, and it just stood out so well, you and I were standing out in front of the Bud's tire one day talking, and all of a sudden this car comes in sideways, sliding in to the shop, and I said, I didn't even turn around. I said, that's Allison, isn't it? He said, yeah. So see, they do pick up on some of your good points.
Yeah, well, it's funny how children are so different between Andy and Allison. She's a lot more outward, you know, than Andy was.
But he is so friendly. He's such a good kid.
He is. But they were so different. He didn't care to be around people as much as Allison just loves to be around people, you know. And it isn't that he is now. He is because he works for the post office, and he's learned to meet and greet people, you know, and everything. But Allison's really good with people too, you know.
I never will forget when she visited my mom when she was in the hospital, in the hospice part.
Yeah.
And she came in and started talking and just brightened my mama up so much. They were just I loved the warmth of it. But I noticed as she started to walk out, she started crying. And I said, you know, there is a young lady that's got a great heart. I mean, it's just something, and it's so special that she is with the ambulance service, and also works with you guys too over at the shop. There's nobody knows more than what she does. But what I can't understand is one of the things that you do is you've got little Bud that's over there working with you, and he's in charge of the golf cart driving across all the way about 20 feet across the road to the other shop. Now, is that to Is that to speed up progress that's going on between the two places, or what exactly is Little Bud's function there?
Well, Little Bud does what he wants to, but he pretty well manages the shop and does a real good job, you know, with what he does. And a lot of people think it's because he's Little Bud, he's my boy.
I've heard a lot of people say that.
Well, I've raised him in a way because I got him when he was, you know, just real young. And he's been with me longer than anybody. Most of them have been with me for years. But Little Bud's been there, and he's quit a time too. He's always come back.
He would never quit. That'd be like running away from your family.
Yeah, well, he is part of a family now, you know, and we consider him part of our family.
Now, tell me, I've had a lot of people call and ask about Randy, and we're talking about Randy Brandon, who was working with you and passed away a few weeks ago, and he was a big part of your shop. People would look for him when they would come in, just like they always have to find you when they come in. And I know that's been tough for you guys to replace somebody as special as Randy was.
Well, you know, I could replace him as a body, but not as a person.
Yeah.
You know, and Randy was, he worked himself to death too, but everybody loved Randy. And if he waited on you, he cared about you. He was like you were his mama or daddy, his brother or sister. Yeah. That's the kind of person that he was, and that's the kind of thing that's hard to replace, is that the personal care that a person has for the people that you're waiting on, you know. And this is, I think, one of the secrets, you know. One of the big people like Discount Tire, they're hard to deal with in a sense, but we deal with them, but we can give what they can't far as personal service, you know, caring about that person, caring about their car, caring about what they get. We can do that where they can't hire that, you know. Yeah. And that's the one good thing about the advantage we got, that they can be rough on our business, but they can't put us out of business, you know. And we still, you know, you got to be reasonable in what you make. You got to be reasonable in that kind of thing. But the service is what you can outdo, too. You can outserve them far as what you care and everything. So that's part of the business, and you learn this over a period of time. It's not just a job, it's something that you do because you care, you know.
Let's go back in the early mid 50s, on in to the latter 50s. Everybody in over there on our side of town just about had motorcycles, motorbikes, or whatever, some type of travel. And you know, it's amazing how one particular incident can change everything. But you and I remember a young fellow, blonde-headed, Elvis Mangrum.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a motorcycle, and he was going down Broad Street, which is a different Broad a little bit than what it is now. And unfortunately, hit a truck, and it killed him instantly. I can still remember today. It's funny how those things just stay with you. But most of the people that I knew at that time sold their motorcycles and didn't ride for a long, long time. And it's amazing how those things, because you know that the danger of them when you're riding. You know that the safety measures that you have to take to be aware, and have to be aware continuously. You can't take your eye off the road and those around you. And, you know, that there are some things that just stick with you, and that's one growing up, one of the tragedies that I have never forgotten.
Well, there's another boy too that was involved in that, Jim Kerr. I don't know.
Yeah,
Jim had left.
That was another one. He came back from a ball game.
He played football for Central. He was a freshman at that time. He was on a motorbike and he got hit at East Main and Tennessee Boulevard and died there. But those two instances make you think about life. And, you know, really, I can take those two instances and say they made me a better person. They say, well, you need somebody to make you a better person. But it made me realize that life is precious.
Yes, it is.
Life is given to you, and you don't know how long you're going to be here. And the best thing you can do is take life and make it better. Mm-hmm. And
it makes you wonder why things happen, too, because Jimmy Kerr, of course, Elvis was a great kid.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kerr was probably one of the best athletes to go to Central High School.
Yeah.
As a freshman, he was playing.
He was one of the best ball players. I think Lee Pate ever had, as a freshman, mm-hmm. he was a freshman, but he was playing. Mm-hmm. He was that good. He was a good boy too. I remember him. He went to the training school too. He was a year ahead of me. He was with Judy's class, mm-hmm. but he was a very fine young man. And you think about, well, why them? You know, mm-hmm. sometimes you think, well, why that person? You know, but. Anyway, we answer as individuals to God.
Yeah, those of us, we're not smart enough to understand really the whole thing of what goes on because we don't make the rules.
No.
We want to let you know that Sims Auctioneers is having an auction, and it's coming up Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, and it's located at 5268 Rooker Road in Smyrna. And Shirley Drennan is retiring and moving, and they have three guns, gun cabinets, trailers, twos, lots of furniture, a zero-turn mower, projection TV, I guess that's one of those great big ones, vintage kitchen items, an upright freezer, refrigerators, and many more items too numerous to mention. The auction will be this Saturday at 10 a.m., located at 5268 Rooker Road in Smyrna, and check out LarrySims.com for more details. Absolute Auction this Saturday morning at 10, and it's located at 5268 Rooker Road in Smyrna.
When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help you devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs.
Hi, I'm Laura Kendrick. I'm the finance manager here. One of the most rewarding things about my job is I get to be in contact with the home care aides that we have. They have a real heart for our clients.
Everybody needs a little help now and then, and At Home Care is here to help.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Tuning. I'm the HR manager at Home Care. We at Home Care want to hire the best health care aides for those who really want to stay in their homes. We want people who care and go over, above, and beyond. We do that. Background checks to make sure that we do have the best. We stress that it's a heart that matters and that the people depend on them for their needs. Some of our clients have no one else and may be their only contact for the day.
Find out more at homecaretn.com or by calling 713-4639.
Shop directly from your farmer at the Rutherford County Farmers Market. Open each Tuesday and Friday from 7 a.m. until noon at the Lane Agri Park. Shop for fresh produce, eggs, honey, and more.
Rover buses run every hour during the market and drop you right off at the door. With a free transfer from the Gateway Route to the new West Side Loop, getting local foods has never been easier.
Meet your farmer and your neighbor at the Rutherford County Farmers Market. Tuesdays and Fridays, 7 a.m. until noon. At the Lane Agri Park, down from Sam's.
Here's Frank LePetri, pastor of Holly Grove Baptist Church.
A friend of mine concludes many of his notes with these words: remember to be good to each other. That's great advice. The daily stresses of life can easily cause us to get irritable with our spouses or with others. We pick at little annoyances or criticize minor habits. We blurt out harmful, unkind words without thinking. The book of Proverbs gives us counsel about words we use, saying, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. And this warning, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. This is Frank LePetri, pastor of Holly Grove Baptist Church. As we work daily to be good to each other, ask the Lord to fill our hearts with the words that will bring blessings. Like the writer says in Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones.
Be sure to visit our website, hollygrovebaptist.com.
Holly Grove Baptist Church, reaching out to offer hope.
Get to a better State Farm.
One in three drivers is cruising around in a state of skepticism about just how much value their car insurance company is delivering. I'm State Farm agent Bud Morris, and I can help get you to a better state. 893-1417.
Get to a better State Farm.
Life insurance is a discussion that makes most people want to change the subject rather than admit they don't have enough. I'm State Farm agent David Wilson. I can help you focus on how benefits of life insurance actually live on by helping pay off a house or sending the kids to college. 893-9898.
The Truman Show on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
And welcome back with Bud Mitchell. And you know, Bud, you just reach out to everybody, and everybody seems to know you. And I know sometimes it has to wear on you, although you never do show it. But it doesn't matter what time, day or night or whatever, you run out to whatever the need is. You've helped me more times than I could count, and I never have. I don't think I could ever show you the gratitude that I have for you and my whole family, actually, for all the things that you've done for us. But we've been a classmate with each other for many, many years, and we're getting ready. And just saying it, it's hard to get out of my mouth, but this will be our 55th class reunion. And for some reason, just saying that, I can remember when you and I, we would be laying out under the stars at Jakes Avenue, and just, I can remember some conversation. I wonder how long we'll live. Do you think we can live to be 50 years old or 55? And here we are still going strong and a number of our classmates are still, and I can't wait for us to have our 55th class reunion. And I know it's coming up in August.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, the Bible says 70 is a lifespan for us, what God puts down, you know, so we've already reached that. And
that's telling us.
Well, you know, my daddy died at 53, and I never thought I'd live to be 50, you know, because of the way I lived, you know, trying to do this and trying to do that and quick, you know, doing this. And you don't really think about living this long, but the Lord has been so good to us to let us live as long. And I don't think we need to miss this 55th.
No.
Because a lot of times, you know, we don't know when we're leaving, and you see different people in different shapes. And I'm so thankful that I can still work. And somebody said something about retiring, and I don't really ever want to retire.
No.
Not in a sense.
And what's the benefit of retiring?
That's right. And do you just lay down and say that's it? If you can be productive, you need to be productive, you know, and the Lord gives you the ability to know the difference too, you know. So I've been so blessed in my health to keep going, and so I want to keep it going, you know.
You know, just to talk, I've had a number of them calling me about certain things over the last year or so, and I really do appreciate everyone being so friendly and so nice, and it really hasn't changed any since high school. There's something about the bond of special classes, and the class of 59 I think was really, really special. And I'll bet you remember when we had our very last night at Old Central High School, everybody joined in a circle and held hands and sang "Auld Lang Syne." Can you remember that?
Yeah,
Wasn't that special?
I don't know where classes get special, but we were special.
Yeah.
We're special to one another, you know. Even though some of them you didn't hardly know, you still have a bond to them because of going to school with them and all these years and everything. But
unfortunately, that's the only time we see some of them is when we have our reunion. Of course, a lot of them live out of town.
And that's one good thing that I'm so thankful that the Lord permitted me to stay here and see things and see the people that I've seen, you know, to bond to them and everything. So it means a lot to me for the people that I've gone to school with and been around and everything. I'm so thankful for that.
Now, those that are listening, do not miss this class reunion. It's going to be in August, and if some of them are on the group that's setting this up, I'm on it, but I forgot the date, unfortunately, when we're going to have it. But I know that we're going to have it over at MTSU, and it's going to be really, really special. And I think everybody is going to make sure that all the people that are coming in are going to really have the best time they've ever had. I know our 50th class reunion was really, really great, and we had a lot of fun. We renewed friendships, and actually, in some cases, I think that some of the classmates actually made new friends while they were there. And, you know, at this point in our life, I think that we appreciate things. I used to be a hunter. I used to love to go out and hunt and shoot rabbits and squirrels and all that stuff. But the funny thing about it, as you get older, you appreciate life all around you a whole lot more. So there's no way I could do that now. I could still eat a rabbit sandwich, I guess.
Yeah.
But
you're talking about
shoot one.
Having a place at MTSU where we're having trouble finding a place to have it. And I told him, I said, you can have it at it. My place behind the house there, those houses there we got right there. And I said, I've got a barn back there. We'll just have it in that barn. But we got to get the horse out of there first.
Tell us about the horse. You've got Roy Rogers that's staying with over
well,
at
we
your
got
place.
Roy Rogers and
Gene Autry.
Gene Autry, and then we got the smell that goes with it, too. So it's all genuine.
And same old bud, you've got a gentleman that stays over there at your place. And he actually, he's the one that rides up and down Woodbury Highway. And does he actually go to the square and tie up over there? Do you remember when they used to do that many, many years ago?
Well, everywhere I see him, he's tied up. You know, he tied up over at the store, and he tied it to a hardware store and told Candace to bring him something out there. I don't forget what it was, a drink and something, you know. But he'll come out the store, and he'll tie up. He's got to carry a shovel with him. Oh, but where I see him, he has tied up, you know. Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a great singer right here at WGNS. She sings in a lot of places. She's going to be singing at Bell Buckle, I believe, somewhere near the end of this month. And I think we're going to go out, and I'm inviting you and Kay to go with us.
Yeah, we're going to come and hear her. I want to hear what that girl sounds like.
And I think Billy Henson, it's going to be his band, and they're going to be out. And, of course, we're talking about Melissa McCullough, who has – just a really, really great voice, and she's going to be entertaining out there again. So I think that there are a number of us. Do you think we need to call Billy Henson and let him reserve a couple more seats for you and Kay?
Well, sure.
I've already called.
Yeah.
We're going to do it. We're going to head out.
Yeah.
And that
I'd like to hear Melissa.
Yeah, that food is absolutely out of this world.
I always enjoy going over there. I do.
Well, I know Richard Reeves hadn't called, and he usually listens every time, but I was hoping he would call me and give me the exact dates, but we can do that a little bit later on. We've got a little bit more time. And is there anything going on special at Budge Tire? And at, people, a lot of people don't realize that you have both that and the hardware store across the street, and I buy a lot of my hardware stuff over there, and you got everything in there. I mean, I have all these things that I have to deal with from time to time with the house. And if I get something I need to have to take care of it, I just run straight out there to your hardware store.
No, it makes it awful convenient for me too. You know, when I need something, I don't have to go to town to get it.
Why can't you eat like normal people? Because you and I, we eat and our wives and Charlie Pinkerton and Joy goes out there. Why do we have to eat at 1:30? Because you don't know what a drag that is on somebody like me who's used to eating at 11 o'clock a.m.
We usually eat between 2 and 3.
Yeah.
It's just kind of what you get used to. I got to have a good breakfast.
Yeah.
I mean, that gets me rolling. And then I can wait till 2 and 3 to
you
eat
actually,
dinner.
You actually have a restaurant over there at your place, and you cook breakfast every morning. Most people don't even realize that.
Well, I cook for the employees. You know, we fix biscuits and I put different things on them, but usually sausage and bacon and eggs and, you know, cheese. And we have a pretty good little breakfast.
That's getting to be a real big deal.
Yeah, I enjoy doing it because they enjoy it, not because I do. Because it takes me about an hour to fix theirs. You know, I have to get up about an hour early to fix.
What time do you get up in the morning?
I usually get up around 6, maybe a little before.
Oh, I thought
know,
you got up before, earlier.
No, I usually and around 5:36, right in there, mm-hmm. somewhere right in there. Yeah.
I've always heard as you get older, you get up earlier. I get up at 4:30 every morning. But I slept late this morning. I didn't get up to 5:15, and kind of dragging a little bit this morning, having to drink my coffee, and I can't get my mind working. But I thank goodness I had you on this morning, because you kind of got me past it a little bit.
Well, you know, I enjoy a good breakfast.
Oh, one more thing people wanted me to ask you. How's your new motorcycle? What do you have? And tell me about some of the trips.
Well, I told him it. You know, somebody asked me, did I get a motorcycle? I said, no, Kay got it. And she took out $1 million insurance policy on me.
The truth of the matter is, you and I were over at the shop, and you said, hey, take a ride with me. And we went over to this gentleman's house and took a look. And sure enough, he had a nice motorcycle, and he had it at a pretty good price. And you just couldn't pass it up, could you? What is it about a motorcycle that no matter what happens, you still got to get up and go? It's like a horse throwing you and trying to kick you in a rodeo, or what is it?
Well, I don't know. I told him I went 8 days and didn't know nothing. So The wreck didn't bother me in a sense, but I enjoyed riding a motorcycle. That's the most relaxing thing. And somebody might know what I'm talking about. When you get on a tractor and you're cutting a field or plowing, you can just think about things and reason that you can't when you're busy, you know. I'm like that riding a motorcycle, you know. I just relaxed, you know. Just forget cares of the world, you know. And I really enjoy a motorcycle. I really do.
Do you kind of envision yourself as being Marlon Brando, where you got all that that wind in your face and you're traveling across and you got all the guys behind you and it's just, I can see why you love it.
Yeah, there you sit by yourself and carefree.
Well, it's been a great show, bud. I always enjoy being with you. I would have you on every day just to sit there and talk with you. Well, the week's over with.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gone. So I guess the next thing we'll do is I will be back here Monday morning at 9 o'clock, and we'll have a great show then. And I think we're going to have Ben Cates, one of your own buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben's going to be on Monday morning.
Ben's a good one.
Yes, he is. We'll see you then.